The Trump administration has had a close eye on a deal for TikTok's U.S. operations, but China's government also needs to sign off.
Technology is definitely becoming a proxy war for the U.S.-China political relationship, and it's all linked to the fact that in this day and age, geopolitical power is linked to technological supremacy. So the two countries are sparring over who has control of the latest cutting-edge technologies.
We'll talk about that battle ahead of a looming deadline. And honoring the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg at the U.S. Capitol. Plus, classic movie lovers are struggling with unstreamables. It's Friday, September 25th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has become the first woman and the first Jewish person to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. During a ceremony in Statuary Hall, Rabbi Lauren Holtzblatt remembered the pioneering jurist who spent her career fighting for equality.
Justice did not arrive like a lightning bolt, but rather through dogged persistence. All the days of her life, real change, she said, enduring change happens one step at a time.
An interment service for Justice Ginsburg will be held next week at Arlington National Cemetery, where her late husband, Marty Ginsburg, is also buried. Meanwhile, President Trump is preparing to announce his nominee to replace Ginsburg tomorrow. Our legal affairs reporter Brent Kendall says U.S. Appeals Court Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who Trump met with earlier this week, is widely seen as the frontrunner.
She is young by court standards. She's 48 years old and, you know, has less experience than most people who rise to the high court. She's been on a federal appeals court in Chicago for about 3 years. That said, I mean, she's widely regarded as a sharp legal mind. She's done lots of legal scholarship. She was a law clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia's. I've been long beloved by conservatives. She's taught at Notre Dame Law School and won a variety of awards. By all measures that, you know, we've been able to assess, I mean, she seems like someone who is likely to be a pretty solid, strong conservative on the court, which will be, you know, a considerable change from Justice Ginsburg, who was one of the court's most prominent liberal members.
The U.S. daily coronavirus case count rose to about 44,000 on Thursday. In Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam and his wife are isolating after testing positive for COVID-19. Florida, which has the third highest number of total confirmed cases since the pandemic began, is moving into phase three of its reopening plan, which includes lifting capacity restrictions on restaurants. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced today that the city will make the sidewalk and street dining program permanent and allow restaurants to use tents and propane heaters as the weather gets colder. Since the pandemic began, nearly 7 million cases have been confirmed in the U.S., and more than 202,000 Americans have died. We report exclusively that shareholders have filed a lawsuit against plane maker Boeing, accusing the company's board of lax oversight during the 737 MAX crisis. The redacted shareholder complaint portrays the board as passive and claims directors were preoccupied by negative news stories and failed to press management over engineering problems. A spokesman for Boeing says the lawsuit lacks merit and that the company will seek to have it dismissed. Boeing 737 MAX fleet has been grounded since March of 2019, following two fatal crashes. The crisis has cost Boeing billions of dollars. Coming up after the break, China's concerns in the battle over TikTok. We've been reporting on the back and forth over the Chinese video sharing app TikTok and the deal that would turn its U.S. operations into an American investor-owned company. The Trump administration has said it signs off on the deal in principle. But it's not the only one who has a say here. The Chinese government is also looking closely at the terms. Joining me now to talk more about Beijing's concerns is Wall Street Journal China tech reporter Lisa Lin. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Lisa, we've been talking a lot about the concerns that the Trump administration has over this deal. What can you tell us about China's concerns as the terms are now under review by Beijing?
Yeah, so, Anne-Marie, we're in the stage of this TikTok saga where it almost feels like it's the beginning of the end. You know, ByteDance, which is TikTok's Chinese owner, has finally found two major U.S. partners, and Trump has, in concept, signed off on the deal. Except we have one major problem. I mean, the deal needs the approval not just of the U.S. government, it also needs the Chinese government to approve it as well. And on that front, ByteDance isn't doing too well. So the journal found out that Chinese officials are really worried about the deal and about two things in particular. Firstly, who ends up having ultimate control of TikTok's global operations? And secondly, they want to make sure that TikTok's source code remains secret, even from its US partners.
This has been a really interesting story, I think in part because we've seen the governments of both the US and China intervening in what's essentially a business deal. How much sway does the Chinese government have over TikTok's parent company, ByteDance?
In theory, Chinese privately run tech companies are supposed to be independent of the Chinese government. In practice, however, Chinese tech companies often rely on good relationships with the Chinese government in order to score necessary licenses to expand into highly sought-after sectors. For a company like ByteDance, which is a Chinese social media company, the government scrutiny is even higher because they deal with content, and that's an area where the Chinese government is highly sensitive about. The journal reported that ByteDance submitted an application to the Chinese local authorities to get approval to go ahead with the deal. And the reason they did that was because at the end of August, the Chinese government updated a tech export restriction list that hasn't been updated in 12 years. And in doing so, it put technologies such as content recommendation algorithms onto the list. And that would include the algorithm that ByteDance uses for TikTok, which is widely known to be the secret sauce behind the app.
So is that step believed to maybe allay some concerns that the Chinese government has about the deal?
It's widely seen as a move for the Chinese government to wrestle some control of the deal, to impose itself in the decision making as TikTok's fate is playing out.
So what ability does the Chinese government have to break up this deal?
ByteDance has said multiple times in the past that the deal has to be approved by both the US and Chinese authorities. So that means if the Chinese government doesn't give the green light, the deal is not going to go ahead.
You write that while this is under review, Chinese officials have been reading US media reports to gain insight into US sentiment over the deal. What are they trying to learn from these reports?
That's an interesting one. I guess they're trying to learn what we're trying to learn as well. And I say that because the terms of the deal have constantly been in flux, and ByteDance and its US partners have openly sparred as well over how the deal structure is supposed to be. For example, both ByteDance and Oracle agree that Oracle and Walmart will take 20% of a new company that would hold TikTok's global assets. But on the remaining 80%, no one can see eye to eye. ByteDance says 80% will be owned by them, whereas the American partners say that the new company will have their shares split completely and would be majority owned by American investors.
How has Chinese state media been reporting on the deal?
Officially, the Chinese government has been very silent on what they think of the deal, but Chinese state media has been on fire. We've seen editorials by state-run media calling the deal unfair, calling out the US as a modern pirate for trying to steal TikTok away from a Chinese tech firm. They've been very vocal.
Broader picture, Lisa, we've spoken about how TikTok has become a battleground for U.S.-China relations. Why is that, and how might where this deal ends up make things better or worse?
Technology is definitely becoming a proxy war for the U.S.-China political relationship, and it's all linked to the fact that in this day and age, geopolitical power is linked to technological supremacy. So the two countries are sparring over who has control of the latest cutting-edge technologies.
What can you tell us about the timeline here? When can we expect a decision from China on the deal? You spoke to people who say that the upcoming U.S. presidential election is a big factor in their considerations here.
When it comes to a timeline, it's really anyone's guess at this point. What we do know, however, is that Chinese rules say that the Chinese government has to give an answer to ByteDance within 30 working days of its application. So within 30 working days, we'll know if ByteDance gets the green light to continue with the deal or the deal gets nixed. So the US presidential election definitely played a part in this. Chinese officials are betting that Trump will not shut the app before the election because he doesn't want to alienate the millions of young voters out there who might happen also to be using TikTok.
That's Wall Street Journal China tech reporter Lisa Lin. Lisa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
And finally, if binge-watching old movies was on the agenda this weekend, you might want to check if the film is actually available to stream online. Even in an age of seemingly endless on-demand options, some movies are still unstreamable. They include Spike Lee's Bamboozled, Oscar-nominated Silkwood starring Meryl Streep, and The Basketball Diaries starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Mark Wahlberg, as Wall Street Journal contributor Don Steinberg found out when he went looking for it.
It wasn't available anywhere that I could find. I ended up getting in touch with the company that distributed the DVD. They didn't know. I ended up getting in touch with the producer of the film. She didn't know who owned it, but put me in touch with the entrepreneur whose company made the movie. He is retired and living in Jamaica, and he didn't know. So it was like a global search for this one film. Now, it turned out that The Basketball Diaries is owned by MGM, which acquired it in the 90s, and for undisclosed reasons, it's not available digitally.
Steinberg says some reasons can include copyright issues, actors' royalties, company mergers and acquisitions, or even restrictions on music. But some films have also been shunned by streaming services. They include the last films made by tarnished directors Woody Allen and Louis C.K., and Disney's Song of the South because of its racist stereotypes. We have a list of some other movies on the list up at WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. Production help this week from Paolo Bossanin, Mark Garrison, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Trinae Nori, Charlie Turner, Sam Westren, and J.R. Whalen. Our show is hosted by me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. We'll be back on Monday morning. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.